the Clubhouse Radio live from the Casco Youth Clubhouse on 90.7 FM WGXC, broadcasting Acre, Casco, and Hudson. That song was the song was Electric Pow Wow Drum by A Tribe Called Red. Stay tuned for great discussion and more. We'll kick off our show after local news and weather.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Andrea Mako is reporting for Porcupine Soup. The Cairo Development Foundation is suing the town of Cairo in state Supreme Court, accusing town officials of withholding $50,000 in grant money. The notice of claim was dated September 29th and served on the town by attorney Daniel Benoit. Cairo's former town supervisor and husband of CDF co-president Diana Benoit. The CDF alleges that in 2019, it submitted an application requesting the release of approximately $50,000 in residential rehabilitation grant funding received by the town through the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development in 1998. In August 2019, the town board approved a resolution to release the $50,000 to the CDF. Daniel Benoit was the town supervisor at that time, and he abstained from voting. According to the CDF, the funds were to be used for the rehabilitation of two residential apartments at 467 Main Street in Cairo. However, the funds were never distributed to the foundation. Fast forward to August 30th, 2021, and the town board formally reversed its 2019 decision on a vote of 3-2, saying there was no CDF application on file. Supervisor John Coyne and town board members Tim Powers and Stephen Kralovich voted in favor of overturning the board's earlier decision. The CDF argues that it relied on the town's 2019 promise and will, and I quote, suffer financial hardship unless they receive the promised funds, end quote. Diana Benoit said the board's assertion that an application had never been filed was, and I quote, categorically untrue, end quote. And the board's recent action was, and I quote, based on lies, end quote. Read the full story at porcupinesoup.com. Lauren Harkowick is reporting for the Times Union. A study is seeking the public's help in testing possible biological solutions to control the invasive brown marmorated stink bug. They look like little flying armored bugs and emit a foul odor if touched. More than ugly, smelly, unwanted pests, stink bugs are highly invasive and can decimate crops. They eat corn, tomatoes, peppers, and fruit, and they are causing a great deal of trouble for apple growers nationwide and locally in the Hudson Valley. As a result, apple growers and scientists are searching for biological solutions to control the apple-loving appetite of the pest. Peter Gentes, an entomologist formerly with Cornell University Hudson Valley Research Laboratory in Ulster County, is examining the impacts of a fungus called vinerate that is non-toxic to humans that works to dispel the stink bug's appetite. The Sumerai wasp is also being looked at as a potential control for stink bugs. Gentes has turned to local residents for help with a scientific study. He continues to head up a long-running citizen science project that asks people to report any stink bugs they encounter in the home. He says if they're showing up in high numbers in homes, they are likely present in nearby orchids. Stink bugs were first discovered in the U.S. in 1998 when one found its way to Pennsylvania, likely on wood shipping pallets from Asia. This brown, marmorated species was first known to have spread to New York by 2008 when the bugs were spotted in orchids nibbling on apples. The bugs use a straw-like protrusion to sip the juice of the apple itself. This causes damage to the apple that results in dimpling, browning, and sometimes a change in the flavor of the fruit. Read the full story in the Times Union. Sam Rowdens is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The New York legal community is mourning the passing of Judge John G. Connor at the age of 90 on October 4th. A native of Philmont, Connor served for more than two decades as a Supreme Court justice in New York's 3rd Judicial District, which encompasses Albany, Columbia, Greene, Rensselaer, Schoharie, Sullivan, and Ulster counties. following his election in 1982 and 1996. Connor's son, Hudson City Court Judge John Connor Jr., said his father found his place as a Supreme Court justice and stuck with it, something not many people in his position do. Connor Jr. said, and I quote, "I think the thing about my dad was even though he was on the Supreme Court, he was still a humble guy. He was one of those guys who always thought he was the underdog and always gave everybody a day in court," end quote. After graduating from Philmont High School, Connor attended St. Michael's College and went on to serve 2 years in the U.S. Army before he graduated from Albany Law School in 1957. He was admitted to the New York State Bar and then founded the firm Connor, Millman & Connor with his father. Connor made local history in 1964 when he became the first Democrat to be elected district attorney in Columbia County in more than a century. After he retired from the bench in 2006, he returned to private practice with his son, John Jr. David Delahunt, the judge's former law clerk, said, and I quote, "He was a kind of unique judge in the sense that he was a person that not only understood the law, but he also understood people, which is an important characteristic for a judge," end quote. Connor Jr. said, and I quote, "People realized he was just a guy who was there for the everyday man. He wasn't some spokesman for the rich or things like that. He was just an everyday guy who was on the bench," end quote. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Roger Hannigan-Gilson reports in the Times Union that environmental advocates want more time for the public comment period for a proposed biofuel plant near Prattsville in Delaware County. Use energy officials say the 115,000-square-foot plant would convert organic garbage into a material that could be burned as a biofuel that would be good for the environment. But the plant would be less than 2,000 feet from the Schoharie Creek, and environmental advocates worry it would affect the drinking water for a million Hudson Valley residents and most of New York City. Others are concerned about the number of trucks that would be on local roads carrying garbage to the facility. Wes Gillingham, the associate director for the environmental group Catskill Mountain Keeper, said, and I quote, "What I've always said about this project is the devil is in the details. It really needs to be looked at. That's a huge structure they're talking about building in a very rural area," end quote. On September 20th, New York's Department of Environmental Conservation determined that the project would require a full environmental impact statement. Hughes Energy CEO Dane McSpeeden said, and I quote, "We're not surprised in any way, given a project of this size, for the DEC to want to be very thorough," end quote. Now, Hughes Energy must submit an initial scoping document to the DEC about what issues they will address in their full impact statement, and then the public has 30 days to comment. Catskill Mountain Keeper and the environmental groups River Keeper and Don't Trash the Catskills want that extended to 90 days. According to a letter the three groups sent to DEC on October 6, and I quote, "The local community is particularly concerned about the project's potential impact on their health and safety, economy, and aesthetic character of the area," end quote. They also want oral, not just written comments. The Hughes Energy CEO said that, so far, the DEC has been, and I quote, "very fair and open," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello and welcome to the Better Weather for Friday, October 8th. The foliage is changing, and according to the Cornell Cooperative Extension, the Catskills are reaching the midpoint of color change. So go out and enjoy it while you can. Today starts off at 54 degrees with another round of patchy to widespread fog that will slow things down just a bit. Rest of the day will be a little cloudy with a high of 73 at 2 p.m. Overnight, temperatures fall to 54 degrees, then rebound lightly, reaching 65 degrees tomorrow afternoon. Saturday night will be in the mid-50s again, and Sunday looks to have a chance of rain with a high of 66. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 4:30 a.m., low tide at 11:19 a.m., high tide again at 5 p.m., and low tide again at 11:54 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 64 degrees. Sunset today will be at 6:13 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:56 a.m. Looking way up, we see a relatively quiet planetary neighborhood with no near-Earth objects expected and no coronal holes to worry about. Solar wind speed is currently 284 kilometers per second at 9 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently poor. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 13. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
We are the Halusa Nation. Our DNA is of earth and sky.
Them, what do he know? What I forgot is better than whatever they remember. Never mind, I'm off it, it's quiet form. Time to put the temper tantrums to the quiet corner. Hush, that's enough, said the ruler. No suckers allowed to break bread or asunder. The daylight, lightning and the thunder. Sun, moon, and stars and the hunger. Abundance in bundles, blessings in troubles. Towers and tunnels, views and valleys, waves and peaks. Streaks you from sun, planet Earth. And ain't scared of no Mars attack. What type of bars is that? Stay off my chat. I'm out there corny riot garments, top five. Dying on and on them, super fly, slicker top bro. Eagles diving on them. You, why you lying, homie? You won't play with my emotions, Smokey. Big chief heart rate, big beak, B-E-Y-I, seen straight jacket, come clean, big said it was a dream, now it's a living thing, with you and living kings, I mean it, I mean.
Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio. That song was Confronted Red by the Halusian Nation featuring Yasin Bey, Narsi, and Black Bear. I am your host, DJ Ricky, and I'm here with
material religion. And DJ Popcorn.
And on the online side, we got...
Yo ho, it's Phoebs. What's up, y'all?
What's up, what's up?
So, yeah.
Before we get started, DJ Popcorn, would you like to give them our little...
You know. So basically today we've got some things. We're talking a bit about Columbus Day or what's the other
Indigenous People's Day.
Right. So
get down with it.
Okay, so boom. Of course everyone knows who goes to school, and who probably went to school in the past, because that's been going on forever. That Monday is Columbus Day.
Or indigenous, yeah.
And we have a day off of school. So, I figured we would kind of give you a rundown of what school doesn't tell you about Christopher Columbus. Now, yes, Christopher Columbus did go to the United... Hold on, can you turn this down a little bit?
Yeah.
Appreciate you. So, of course, Christopher Columbus did, in fact, go to America, come to America.
But, however,
he did but, not however, he did not discover it. Number one, when he first found land, he found the Bahamas. He did not find, as you guys know, the Bahamas is not part of America. Mm-hmm. He did not find America. He found but the Bahamas. And then he came over to America from the Bahamas, and he found, you know, the native tribes that were there at that time. And when he got there, he kind of was a dominant sort of... he was just a dominant person there, like...
Yeah.
And he treated women horribly. He did a lot of cruel things to women. He basically told the people, give him their gold or die. Mm-hmm. And he just, you know, was a horrible...
Village, yeah.
Yeah, village, mm-hmm. Yeah, same. So, yeah. But, so, you guys, we celebrate... we literally have a day off of school for somebody who you could compare to... R. Kelly, in a sense.
Whoa. Yeah, wow.
Like, in a sense.
Compared to R. Kelly, yeah. It's crazy.
In a sense, because the woman part, you feel me, and the whole abusive
but
towards...
The treating different, in a sense. Let me just say that.
He's, in a sense, kind of similar in the female part.
But
minus the whole...
With,
know,
yeah.
On,
yeah but that. Within this, though, I'm going to... Like, I'm trying to be... less one-sided, because I don't really have a side in this. Me personally, where I stand is I don't celebrate this holiday.
Yeah, like I
personally,
don't either. I don't celebrate it. It's
just
a day off of school for me, to be honest.
Yeah, that's I just personally don't have any type of vendetta against Christopher Columbus or whatever he stood for, or whatever he did in the past. It doesn't really now concern me, and I know it kind of like may sound bad to those who are really serious about him mm-hmm. or the topics. You know, in the discussions that involve him. But however, I just don't have a standing on this, so I'm not really biased in any sense.
For me, I think what people are doing and, like, changing the focus from Christopher Columbus Day to Indigenous People Day, where we're focusing on people and almost trying to make it up to them in a way, I don't want to speak on the behalf of anybody except myself, but I think it's a good thing that we're trying to shift focus and spread some light on better things, and I think we could change it instead of completely remove it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the holiday's here. No one wants to lose a day off, right?
Yeah.
Like, that would cause riots. So, like, it becomes a question of what do we do with it. And I think the shift to Indigenous Peoples Day makes so much sense, right? Because we were, like, celebrating this false story that Christopher Columbus is the person who discovered
America.
And you know, the place that we now call home, but he didn't. Native people, Indigenous people, you know, quote, discovered it, or, you know, as far as we know,
yeah.
You know,
came
over tens, hundreds of thousands of years.
And even then, I'm pretty sure, you can fact check on me on this, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure the Vikings, and I think it's Norwegian, I could be completely wrong, sorry if I just completely, like, messed
up. I mean, so yeah, there were earlier even, like, discover, you know, quote, there were earlier, you know, people who were going out to try to, like, discover trade routes and things like that,
and
right?
I would definitely say there was probably a lot more Indigenous people before in, like, way other... More like there was way more civilizations before he showed up. Let me just say
so
that.
Many. That's the social studies songs that we found. It's kind of goofy.
It's a kid's song,
but it kind of gives you a sense of what we're talking about. So maybe we can give that a little play.
So sure. Well, I mean, some of you might know this, but you know,
well, let's give it away.
History class when you're in like third grade or something.
Yeah.
It's like what third graders should be hearing instead of probably what they are hearing.
All the nonsense and the false accusations. All right,
so we're going to let you guys listen to this quick, and we'll be back.
Mm-hmm. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. It was a courageous thing to do, but someone was already here. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. It was a courageous thing to do, but someone was already here. The Inuit and Cherokee, the Aztec and Menominee, Onondaga and the Cree. Columbus sailed across the sea, but someone was already here. Columbus knew the world was round, so he looked for the east while westward bound, but he didn't find what he thought he found, cause someone was already here. Columbus knew the world was round, so he looked for the east while westward bound, but he didn't find what he thought he found, cause someone was already here. The Inuit and Cherokee, the Aztec and Menominee, Onondaga and the Cree. Columbus sailed the place when someone was already here. It isn't like 'twas empty space. Courage met him face to face. Could anyone discover the place when someone was already here? The Inuit and Cherokee, the Aztec and Menominee, Onondaga and the Cree. Columbus sailed across the sea, but someone was already here.
Alright, I don't know if we need that whole... But you get the point, I guess.
Right.
Like, can you really discover a place when somebody's already there?
It's kind of like I'm trying to think of the word. It's almost like an oxymoron in a way. It's just not. It really goes down to the semantics of discover, and it's a whole thing.
Right. Do you feel like, you know, in the shift? So I think there's a big responsibility in changing the name. Changing a name of a holiday is nice, right? But then it's like, does anything else change? And I'm curious if y'all feel like in the schools themselves anything has changed about the way people are talking about either Christopher Columbus or doing more to teach Indigenous history.
I remember in fifth grade, if it was, when I was learning about Columbus Day, or even before that for the first time. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how it was before I was in school, like way back then, but I think they're definitely trying to teach the culture of Indigenous people more and trying to shed some light on that and not keeping it just on the European settlers, which I think is pretty good. I think.
And I feel like now, definitely with that, I feel it's the perfect time to really right the wrongs of so many social studies books and textbooks that are really incorrect. And I know, like, I don't know for a fact that some may or may not be corrected in the future and say Indigenous Peoples Day in maybe like parentheses or something next to Columbus Day. So I feel like they could possibly do that. But I know that my global teacher teaches it now, not just as Columbus Day, but as Indigenous Peoples Day as well.
Yeah, I think right now it's in a spot where they can't really teach it as one or the other, because there's a lot of people referring to it as one, and there's a lot of other, like a whole different segment of people referring it to the other. And it's just... For now, until we really get a good consensus, we got to teach both, I feel.
For me both, as well, I like, just... Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just feel like it's important to teach both sides, both exactly. perspectives. Because no. You don't want a kid to grow up one-sided and just their entire life know, oh, yeah, Christopher Columbus sailed the seven seas
blue. He's such a good guy for
and
me.
Discovered America.
I feel like
that.
What you're trying to say is it's important to teach somebody the context and let them arrive at their own conclusion.
Yeah.
Because obviously teach them what happened. Don't give any bias. Mm-hmm. For real. Because most kids are really impressionable.
To be honest, in school, there is a whole bunch of bias.
There is.
Stuff that we're taught without the other side of the story.
Yeah, but... As you're being taught throughout the years, you're gonna have different teachers as you move up in grades.
Mm-hmm.
As you mature, you're gonna have different teachers who believe in different things with different aspects and different viewpoints on things. Mm-hmm. So, with that, it's like it's really where and who you learn from is how
I agree. The teacher can definitely make or break
your
class.
A big impact. On
yeah.
Like, it's have like, you ever, like, enjoyed a class and then just had a horrible teacher that made you not want to go to it? Or the other way around, you like a subject or you don't like a subject, but the teacher can just make it a little bit more enjoyable?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
it's just like that.
Definitely with his Mrs. Kelvin Benz. No, Miss Goddessman in ninth grade. I swear, I hated global studies. Like, I hated it with a passion.
Yeah.
In eighth grade, like, Mr. Gushada, I hated the subject. Mrs. Goddessman.
These are just teachers in our school, for anybody wondering.
They're
just names.
But, Mrs. Goddessman made me actually like global studies. Like, she made it fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it's
what was the difference? What made it better?
She just didn't like she taught it slower. Like, Mr. Corsetta would just
zoom past it and
she gave more context and
try
to relate it to other
things. Actually,
For me, it's like some history I like, some history I don't. It really just depends on what we're learning about.
Yeah. For me,
but
I
like
also,
open discussions about things.
For me, I see Lincoln's viewpoint on that, too, definitely a lot, because it's like when you look at things from an aspect of someone who, like, likes to really take things in when you're, like, learning something, as to just writing the notes down and expecting to take it in that way and go do your own research, rather than just getting it explained to you in class, and if you have questions, you ask. Mm-hmm. And then, they want to actually break it down to you in a way that you understand. That's fun, and that's, kind of a way where you can take it in. me.
Yeah.
Like, I, like, my middle school career, when I was taking Spanish, when I had both years of Spanish.
Yes.
My first year of Spanish was horrible. I passed the first year of Spanish due to like COVID stuff.
Yeah.
I think.
All right, so I know no, for seventh, our
seventh
grade.
Oh wait, not seventh. Seventh, I just passed. I don't know. I think they just passed me.
Yeah, for our school, also we didn't have to. I'm not sure how it does it in all parts around the other schools in the Hudson area, but I know for ours, we didn't have to take a Spanish reasons, was it?
No,
I'm not sure. We didn't have to take it because COVID. We got
final speaking test.
Yeah, right. Final speaking test.
And so I think that's what really topped it off, and I think they went off whatever grade you had.
We kind of got a pass for COVID.
Yeah. But
for me,
eighth, it was just really fun.
Eighth grade, our eighth grade Spanish class,
the teacher, Mrs. Minor, she was very energetic.
She was
made a lot of people kind of like, oh, why are you so this energetic so late in the day?
But she loved teaching like with a passion. Yes. Like, that's why I love her, bro. She's such a great teacher. Like, and the way she taught it to me made it so easier for me to understand, like, more words and things like that. And, like, because we would play games and stuff. And so the games, when you would play the games, you would want to remember so you could win. And she'd have candy. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, you want to win the candy. So, you know, you teach it in a way that's easier for your students to understand. Mm-hmm. And just not have your kids sitting there bored and tired and just.
Well, we kind of went off on a tangent here with teachers. This is a good topic, though. I like it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think we're winding down on this segment anyway. Okay. But I think the last thing to take away that's important is because we've lived in a legacy where, you know, history has been pretty biased. Like, there's a way in which the American school system was actually founded to sort of be propaganda for, like, American pride, right? So it was always caught in this trap of not wanting to teach the ugly sides of our history. But I think that's the reckoning we're at right now. And it's okay. We can do it, you know? Because the other thing that we've lost in this is, like, Indigenous people's incredible contribution, you know, from the beginning until today to our culture and to our wisdom and to, you know, the land we live on and, you know, all of that. So got to make space for celebrating that many times more than folks like Christopher Columbus.
For me, I don't want to say anything that I'm going to regret. I'm not too educated on both of the sides of it and the way our school system works, but a quote that is said a lot, and I'm not sure where it originated, I could find it, but it's that history is always taught by the winners.
Yep, that's really, really right on point. Exactly.
Inspirational.
Like wars and stuff is what
Right. Yeah, like who gets to write the history? Not the people. If somebody gets wiped out by genocide, they're not going to get to write that history. And so you're not going to know the truth of it, right? Mm-hmm. So we just got to always look out for that, right? Because there are people who will carry those stories forward and do tell those stories. But anyway, happy Indigenous Peoples Day, y'all. I hope you enjoy your Monday off school.
Yes.
And,
We are, in fact, running down to that time for the 6:30 news. We will be back to you with some inspirational speaking.
But before we do, I want to remind you guys that all views expressed on Clubhouse all views expressed on Clubhouse Radio are our opinions and may not represent the views and opinions of the Clubhouse's parent organization or the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green Counties.
Good job.
Yeah, I had to remember.
We're all just kids here trying to have some fun on a radio show.
But, you know, thank you guys. We're going to catch you guys when we come back. News.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Larry Rulison reports in the Times Union that National Grid officials are predicting heating bills will rise 31% this winter. Kelly Smith, National Grid's New York gas pricing manager, said October 7th, and I quote, "This is the largest increase we've seen in many years," end quote. The cause? Capitalism, said Richard Meyer, Vice President of Energy Analysis, Markets, and Standards for the American Gas Association. He said, and I quote, "There's higher prices primarily due to the economic recovery. Because we are using more energy, we are using more natural gas, and demand has been going up, causing prices to rise," end quote. Demand has increased as the pandemic recedes. National Grid officials say they are not profiting from the price increases. National Grid spokesperson Patrick Stella said, and I quote, "It, gas supplies, is passed on directly to customers without markup," end quote. Regulations limit the company to make its profits on the so-called delivery of gas through its pipelines and delivery system to customers. Officials say National Grid's home natural gas delivery rates have only increased about $38 during the winter heating months since 2009. And you can read more about this story in the Times Union. Scott Atkinson reports for WWNY that Governor Kathy Hochul signed a bill October 7th to provide drug treatment for addicts in prison. Hochul said, and I quote, "Why wouldn't we take advantage of that opportunity to invest in people, give them something as simple as medication to help them deal with their illness while they're incarcerated? Just like we'd make sure they have their diabetes drugs or their cancer drugs. What we're trying to do is remove barriers to treatment," end quote. Lewis County Sheriff Mike Carpinelli is running for governor as a Republican and denounced the new law. He said, and I quote, "I'm upset by it. I think it's a waste of taxpayers' money, and I think it's going to bring more problems to our jails across the state. It's the state's twisted way of trying to ensure more votes from the left side and, you know, pandering to that. There's not one minute that I think it's truly in their heart that they care about the person," end quote. In all, Hochul signed five bills October 7th to address the opioid problem in the state, including making it easier to find and possess overdose-treating drugs such as Narcan and a law which expands the number of crimes that can be referred for drug treatment. Read more about this story at the WWNY website. Andrea Mako reports for Porcupine Soup that 52% of homes and 56% of businesses in Durham and Greene County currently lack access to broadband internet, a new report says. The Broadband Working Group of Durham Connect, the Comprehensive Plan Implementation Committee, unveiled a draft of the report at the town's meeting on October 5th. The report states, and I quote, "The internet has become a crucial part of our lives, just like roads, electricity, and the telephone, but many parts of Durham have no access to the internet or only have access that is expensive, slow, and unreliable. Only wired broadband, coaxial or fiber optic cable, which is available to most people throughout the U.S., can provide the speed and reliability necessary to transmit the data-rich solutions that they need from the internet," end quote. The report says that 49 of the 120 miles of roads within Durham will still not be wired for broadband this year, and at least 730 of 1,790 addresses don't have access wired broadband. The report says it would cost $1.52 million to wire all the Durham roads. Durham Supervisor Sean Marriott said the town board will read the report and decide on a course of action at the November town meeting. And you can read more about this story at Porcupine Soup. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Kong banging on your chest. You could beat the world, you could beat the war. You could talk the guy, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks. You could be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you go find yourself.
Standing in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And the world.
You can go
You can walk straight through hell with a smile. You could be the hero, you get the gold. Breaking all the records they thought never could be broke. Yeah, do it for your people, do it for your pride. And you're never gonna know if you never even try. Do it for your country, do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day when you're standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And the world's gonna know your name. Politicians be preachers, yeah. Be believers, be leaders, be astronauts, be champions, be truth seekers, be students, be teachers, be politicians, be preachers, preachers. Yeah. Be believers, be leaders, be astronauts, be champions. Standing in the Hall of Fame, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the world's gonna.
Yo, yo.
Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio. I am DJ Ricky, and I'm here with...
Winter.
And DJ Popcorn, man.
And online we got... What's going
on. It's Phoebs. What's up, yo?
What's up? That song was Hall of Fame by The Script. Wait, was it The Script by Hall of Fame? Or...
Yep, The Script, Hall of Fame.
I
think it's Hall of Fame by The Script. Like
Hall of Fame, yes. Is the song, I'm pretty,
yes,
sure.
That. Yes.
So for this,
that's a throwback. I ain't heard that in a minute.
For this segment, we are gonna try to touch spirits. Give y'all some inspirational pep talks, some inspirational quotes, play some inspirational songs, as that one just was.
Don't let the fatigue get you down, brothers and sisters. Pick your heads up.
So in this segment, if you need some uplifting,
yeah,
stay tuned. So
we already know.
We have. This Muhammad Ali quote. This Muhammad Ali speech. It's a short speech. Some of y'all might be familiar with it. Some of y'all might not. It's the "I'm gonna show you how great I am" speech by him. We shortened it a little bit, but it's still the same thing.
I kind of know it vaguely, so I'm gonna be like kind of reacting to it as it goes on, so I can give some context for this, or not context, but like a.
Do you guys want to stay turned up during this? Or?
Yeah. Let's get some commentary.
We can talk about this.
Just make sure we're equally balanced with the audio.
Yeah.
Okay, we're good.
All right, let's go.
Who knocks out everybody and no one can whoop him? That's when that little Cassius Clay from Louisville, Kentucky came up and stopped Sonny Liston, the man who annihilated Floyd Patterson twice. He was going to kill me. But he hit harder than George. His reach was longer than George. He's a better boxer than George. And I'm better now than I was when you saw that 22-year-old undeveloped kid running from Sonny Liston. I'm experienced now, professional. Jaw's been broke, been knocked down a couple of times. Bad. Been chopping trees. I done something new for this fight. I done wrestled with an alligator. That's right. I have wrestled with an alligator.
Wow.
I done tussled with a whale.
Oh,
I done handcuffed lightning, throw thunder in jail.
Figuratively.
That's bad. Only last week, I murdered a rock, injured a stone, hospitalized a brick. I'm so mean, I make medicine sick.
That's a bar.
Yeah. Fast. Fast. Last night, I cut the light off in my bedroom, hit the switch, was in the bed before the room was dark. Fast. And you, George Fulmer, all of you chumps are going to bow when I whoop him. All of you. I know you got him. I know you got him picked, but the man's in trouble. I'm going to show you how great I am.
Yeah.
There you go.
He going to show you how great he is.
Confidence, man.
Yeah.
He did. He talked a
lot.
Faster
than light. He goes in. Speed runs that stuff.
So I do want to unpack some of this. So There is where he said, I wrestled an alligator, I done tussled with a whale. Figuratively, I'm assuming. Unless the alligator.
Language, I don't really think
figuratively, but honestly.
I feel like he might have. It's Muhammad Ali. I don't know if he.
Man would wrestle the alligator, get his jaw on a rubber band instantly.
He's Muhammad Ali, you know.
He the goat.
So he's handcuffed lightning and thrown thunder in jail. Figuratively, of course. You know.
Unless he's God.
Wouldn't surprise me. Or whoever you believe in, you know what I'm saying? But look. I just think, you know, he was speaking.
That's a bad man right there.
Look, because I do remember watching one of his fights, like a rewind on ESPN or SportsCenter, one of the two. I forgot which one it was, but one of the announcers, like, he had got a knockout, and he said they were like, "Look, that man is bad," and I was like, "Oh my god!"
I said in this video of Muhammad Ali, right? Because I know as a lot of y'all may know. He actually got older. He had a lot of brain damage and a lot of other stuff.
I didn't know that happened. That's really unfortunate.
As he got older, he started to, like, shake and become, like, I don't know what that's
Parkinson's?
Called.
Parkinson's? Maybe. When your muscles
do you know what that is when?
Yeah.
When
let me see what happened with him specifically.
Yeah.
But, yeah, boxing is pretty brutal on the body. Unfortunately. Oh, yeah, for Parkinson's. Sure. Yeah.
Definitely does come with a lot. Because
I remember this video I saw of Mike Tyson showing Muhammad Ali his shuffle, because you know Muhammad Ali's known for his notorious shuffle.
Yeah.
And Mike Tyson did it and showed him. And even though Mike Tyson Muhammad Ali wasn't really like in fully there, he looked at him. He just opened his eyes like he just saw a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just started pointing at him. He was shaking his finger. He's pointing at him like, that's a bad man right there.
Yeah. Definitely, it comes down, you know, generation to generation. Mm-hmm. Thousands of great stars come from, you know.
So, matter of fact, since we're on the topic of boxing, if, in fact, you feel like you want to become a boxer, take Muhammad Ali as an inspiration.
Yep.
His story, you saw him when he was talking about him as a 22-year-old running from a professional boxer.
And if you've seen, you know, the movie Rocky or any of the Rocky movies, or you know of Rocky Balboa, you know of this infamous song during the infamous training montage of the steps.
When he was it against that Russian guy?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So y'all should know this. But yeah, keep our heads up and we're going to play this song.
Remember, guys, though, just make sure that you keep the literal now. The eye of the tiger.
Oh, okay.
You know? Just keep yourself.
All the
up.
Songs we got on are really nostalgic.
Yes, yeah. Nostalgic. Yes. Phoebe, is there anything you would like to say before we play this next song?
Yeah.
I think what made the reason he could get away with being so confident is because he did the work. You know what I mean?
He put
in the work so that he could actually talk that game, right? Because if you talk game like that and you don't put in the work, you're going to look kind of foolish at some point. But that never happened to that man because he put in the work, you know? And I think that's to me what's most inspirational.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yes. That. I definitely
Somebody
agree
said
with
something
that.
They learned that they asked him, Muhammad Ali, like, how many sit-ups can you do? And he's like, I don't know, because I don't even bother to start counting until it starts to hurt.
Yes, that's what that's a very, I heard about that.
That's him, like some main
Mike Tyson,
character
Mike
type
Tyson has done that too. He did calf raises and all that stuff, but he didn't start counting any of his reps until it started to hurt.
Definitely.
And he started.
Mm-hmm.
Matt built up tolerance and all that other stuff. But you're going to play the song and come back to ya.
And remember, keep that eye of the tiger around. We'll be right back. and that's what I've got. The Eye of the Tiger. DJ Phoebs?
Hold up.
Pumped up.
What happened? Your mic?
I have a question.
Yeah, talk to
me. Didn't Katy Perry make a song called Eye of the Tiger?
I think hers was called Roar.
It was a bop, let's be honest. Good.
Yeah. It was a bop. If I can find it, I'll play it. But, but hey.
Close us out.
That song, I feel like it was just a motivational thing. It's pushing people, yeah, of course.
And me, definitely being a lover of the Rocky series, you know, definitely fire.
My boy Rocky. Rocky 1, Rocky 2, Rocky 3.
My dad's a huge fan of Rocky. Every time it's on TV, he's got to turn it on and just watch it.
I was so mad because I missed Mike Tyson when he came through.
And Casco, when he came to Cal, I was so upset
with myself.
Dang, this turned from some inspirational stuff to some boxing stuff. I just realized that. We just talked about Muhammad Ali.
Oh, yeah. Well, inspiration going in boxing, you get exactly. Boxing takes speaking a lot of
boxing, actually, in Catskill, New York, we have on 23 North Street, we have a boxing gym that you can go to, and you can get boxing lessons.
Definitely
from Todd and some other dude. Excuse me. That song, I feel like it was just it's like something you will listen to, like if you're trying to exercise or something. That's gonna push you to keep going. You know, I just feel like that song is something that will boost your.
That's like the workout song.
Exactly. I will put that song on repeat.
It's almost like the universal song. Go to anybody working out, they gotta have it on their playlist. Exactly.
Somebody says, "Oh, I'm going to work out." I'm like, make sure you have that Eye of the Tiger on.
Hey, yes. That's what I'm saying.
Eye of the Tiger. Okay. I feel like it's about that time where we are going to give some inspirational talks. So who would like to start off?
I actually got a good one.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is more it's kind of a mix between inspirational and funny. It's a quote by I believe it's Oscar Wilde. Let me look it up real quick. Well, you guys make some small talk. I'm gonna pull it up.
Definitely. So Lincoln, you know what I'm saying? I wanna check in with you guys. How was you guys' day?
It was a great day, man. Great day.
It was a long day.
DJ school was a kind of a long day. Mostly because I took literally three quizzes today.
Three.
One in geometry,
mm-hmm.
one in living environment,
yeah.
one in Spanish.
Oh my.
Spanish 3, feel me? About to get that advanced Regents diploma, feel me? But
I'm happy that I went and got my Spanish credits early.
I'm really happy. He's that happy. To believe it or not, Spanish in high school is not hard.
But what I want.
It's actually kind of fun. I like it.
Mr. Kester, like last year.
That's a Spanish teacher, by the way.
He's funny. Like in ninth grade, when the pandemic hit and all that, he didn't really do much like funny stuff.
I mean, he really couldn't. It's hard to teach online.
But now, in school, since we're there every day, he is last week.
He makes the class a real fun.
Matter of fact, Monday, first day is first day back after the long weekend, he literally had a Legos movie t-shirt on. And he started playing Everything Is Awesome.
That song's fire, bro.
Started doing it with Miss Clancy, though.
That movie is everything.
And by the way, I got the quote pulled up when you guys are ready.
Okay, go ahead.
Talk to us.
So this is Oscar Wilde, and it's some cause happiness wherever they go. Mm-hmm. Others, whenever they go.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you...
Think about it for a second.
Ooh.
Repeat that. Some people cause happiness wherever they go. Others, whenever they go. When people leave.
I definitely say that. So it's like some people definitely don't get that type of recognition or anything like that, or the type of happiness that they bring to people.
It's like
once they're gone, some people don't really realize how much happiness or how much, you know, saneness and things that they gave them mm-hmm. before they go.
I don't think you guys get the quote that well.
Yeah, I was about to say, you missed.
I think you misrepresented that.
What do you feel like the quote?
It's like a joke saying some people you get happy, or like when some people come in, you get happy wherever they go.
Oh, then when some people leave you're
it's
happy.
Like, finally,
okay.
that guy's
yeah.
gone.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, it was like turning it into like a super motivational speech.
Well, I mean, that's how I took it. But
that is true, though. Some people can make a room light up for me and just be like that one.
Like the life of the party, yeah.
And then there's those people who are like just like a nuisance, I guess. And then once they leave, it's like.
Mm-hmm.
Finally,
yeah.
No offense to anybody who was like that, you know, you just got to find your right friend group, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
but
everybody fits in with somebody.
Yes, exactly.
So, we're gonna in a minute.
Yeah, yes, we have
you know
inspirational song.
You know, so this called, is this is Free My People. We're gonna listen. We're gonna listen to some of this.
Yes, Green Tea by and, Green Tea Peng. Peng.
Peng. Peng. Peng.
Featuring Simi and Peng. Kid Cruz. We'll get right back with you after.
But yeah, you know, we'll be right back.
Yo.
Yo, what's up?
I care. Words on that song? Words?
Yeah, that song. It's been carrying me lately.
Talk to me about it for a little bit.
I mean, it's just a vibe, yeah, first off, it. Right?
That song hits you.
Like, yeah. And then I just appreciate the message, you know? It's like, I don't want to chat until my people are free. I'll chant, but I want to chat. Like, I don't have time for, you know, there's stuff to take care of. We got to focus on what's important in the world.
Definitely. Andy, how did it hit you guys? Anyway, how did you feel about it?
I like it.
Feel like it hit you the same way it hit Phoebe, basically?
Yeah, it's just a vibe to me, to be honest. I didn't really get the time to take in some of the lyrics for real, but, you know. Hey.
It's like a good relaxing song that you just play while chilling on a beanbag. That's the vibes I get from it.
But, yeah, Lincoln?
We are coming down to that closing time. Thank you for listening. Catch us
next week and every Friday at 6 p.m.
Tune in at WGXE.org, the 90.7 FM WGXE.
And if you're 12 to 18 and want to get involved in programming or a radio show, you can either email us at ourtownourtruth@gmail.com. That is OURTOWNOUR truth at gmail.com.
Yes. Shout out to.
Definitely shout out to Wayfarm and WGXC for making this radio program possible. Shout out to both the Hudson and Catskill Clubhouse youth that come here and attend the clubhouse.
Shout out to Phoebs for being me. Thank you. Shout out DJ Popcorn.
Hey.
Winter.
Hey, what's up?
And you know, big shout out to me.
Shout out.
Big shout out, DJ Ricky, put together a solid show. I also give a shout out to all indigenous people here today, to your ancestors. Can I close this with can I give a little quick quote real quick?
Yeah,
all right, this is Crowfoot, a Blackfoot warrior. He lived from 1830 to 1890. And he said, hold on to what is good, even if it's a handful of earth. Mm. Hold on to what you believe, even if it's a tree that stands by itself. Hold on to what you must do, even if it's a long way from here. and hold on to your life, even if it's easier to let go. Hold on to my hand, even if someday I'll be gone away from you.
Mm. Mm. That hit hard. That was snaps. Yeah, that was a really good quote. Perfect way to end us off.
Yes. So, yeah. And I want you guys to go and have the best
3-day weekend.
You know what I'm saying? 3-day weekend for those who go to school. Yes. And
people
I want
work,
y'all.
You know, people, yeah, people get a...